Before we get to your letters and corrections, we have an update to a story that we brought you yesterday. I spoke with writer Bruce Necht about the quarrel that Larry Ellison and Ernesto Bertarelli have over the America's Cup yacht race. Well, today, a judge in New York ruled in favor of Ellison. New York State Supreme Court Justice Shirley Werner Kornreich ordered Bertarelli's team to hold the race for the Cup this coming February instead of May, as he had wanted.
And now your letters. Yesterday, we profiled Carol Hodges and her struggle to keep up with her credit card debt. Many people who wrote to us and posted to our website weren't sympathetic. And typical was Rebecca Hecker of Vernon, Connecticut, who wrote this. Is racking up $100,000 in debt because she felt like a teenager again and wanted to get an education and start a business supposed to make us feel bad for her or help her in some way? Shame on NPR for using the most ridiculous example of an American in credit card debt.
On a different note, a story that we ran earlier this week had unfortunate consequences for Linda Schaffer of Belchertown, Massachusetts. She writes this, I was driving home on Tuesday, listening to All Things Considered, and reminding myself to stop at the drugstore. Your story on improving long-term sensory and working memory came on. I paid such rapt attention to it that I drove right on past the drugstore. I really enjoyed the advice on mentally exercising my memory, but I fear I have a lot of work to do.
And now some corrections. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating the February crash of a commuter plane near Buffalo. Yesterday, we interviewed columnist and pilot Patrick Smith about the crash. In the introduction to that interview, you heard us call the Colgan airplane a commuter jet. In fact, it was not a jet, but a turboprop. We also implied that co-pilot Rebecca Shaw worked a second job at a coffee shop. That was true early on in her career, but not at the time of the crash.
Finally, when we imagined what a job posting for a Supreme Court justice would look like, many of you took issue with one detail. We said the job comes with a uniform. Well, apparently it didn't for at least one court member, Justice Stephen Breyer.
I bought my robe, I think, about 25 years ago when I in Boston.
Where did you go for it?
I went to some shop down. I remember down downtown, and then I was. It's a synthetic.
Robes are us.
You've been great up until now, and I've so trusted you, and I thought we're in good hands. But there's no. You bought your robe in downtown Boston?
Yeah.
That was Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, along with panelists Mo Rocca and a clearly dumbfounded Paula Poundstone on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me in 2007. Apparently, Justice Breyer, who was a federal court judge in Boston, did bring his own robe. Every other sitting justice came from a lower court, and presumably each of them had their own robe as well. However, we are told the Supreme Court stands ready to provide a justice with a robe if it's needed.
And a good thing. If you have a comment, a question, or a correction, we'd like to hear from you. Please write us by going to npr.org and clicking on Contact Us.